Good. Well, boys and girls, mums, dads, grands, granddads, and everyone else, it's brilliant to see you here. We've had some stories with Connie this week. We've had a drama. We've had some Bible stories this week. And I've got one more story for us now. Not a Bible story, but it'll help us think about our verse. Now, if I could have my picture on the board, this story is all about this guy. Now, his name is William. He is William, the wiggly, squiggly, slimy, squirmy. So this is the story all about William, the wiggly, squiggly, slimy, squirmy. You've got it. Now, one day, William, the wiggly, squiggly, slimy, squirmy, was laying on his back looking up at the sky. And he saw the clouds. And he saw the birds flying by. And he thought, I would love to fly. He thought to himself, how can I make myself fly? He looked at the birds and he saw the birds. He said, what is different between me and a bird? And he said, feathers. That is what's different. That's what makes birds fly. So William went and he found some birds' feathers. And William looked around to the highest hill he could see. And he wiggled all the way up to the top of the hill. Once at the top of the hill, he grabbed hold of the hands. He rolled over the feathers so they were attached to him somehow. And he took a wiggle up. And he wiggled to the end of the mountain, to the end of the hill. And he jumped off. And he started flapping his feathers as only a worm could. And he started flapping them back and forth. And you know what happened? Meow! Splat! Fortunately, he was quite tough, was William. So it didn't hurt him. He got up and he scratched his head. And he thought that was no good. The feathers didn't work. So William, wiggly, squiggly, slimy, squirmy, thought, how next could I fly? And he looked over to the children playing in the farmhouse next to the convenient placed hill where William was. And he saw that they were playing. It was a windy day and they saw that they were playing with a kite. And William thought to himself, if I had one of those kites, I could fly. So when the children finished playing and they went in for his lunch, William wiggled all the way over and took the kite. He was just going to borrow it. When he had the kite on him, in some fashion, he wiggled back to the top of the hill. He's very fast at wiggling, is William. When he got to the top of the hill, the kite was attached to his back. He took a wiggle up. He wiggled to the end of the cliff, and he jumped. And do you know what happened? Not straight away, actually. A bit of wind came and took him, and he was up. And it was wonderful. And then the wind stopped. And he started coming down, down, down. Till eventually, splat. That did hurt a bit. He'd gone up, but as it was slightly higher. He started rubbing his head. He didn't know what to do. He wanted to fly so much. It looked so much fun going through the sky. But he also knew that he kept hurting himself. He looked around. And William, the wiggly, squiggly, slimy, squirmy, thought to himself, now I saw something one evening in November. He said, I saw the farmer setting off some things that went up into the sky. And he said, I loved those. Those were brilliant. He said, I also saw where he put them in the shed. So William wiggled over to the shed in the farm. He wiggled in and he found this pointy thing. It had a stick and a pointy. It was a rocket. Now William said, that looks brilliant. So he wiggled onto it and somehow managed to attach the rocket to his back. He wiggled up to the top of the hill and at just the right moment, the sunlight hit a stranded piece of glass, which was conveniently placed. And it lit the rocket. And the rocket went flying into the sky. And do you know what happened? Well, first of all, William was flying and he loved it. He was higher than ever, ever before. Then there was a bang. And a pretty rainbow of colours. And in that rainbow came William flying down to the floor. And do you know what happened? Meow. Splat. There is William. Lying on the floor. He's still well. He's tough. But he's lying on the floor. His head is hurting. He's tired. He's done all that wiggling to the farm and back. All that wiggling up a hill. He's hurt himself 3 times. And he wiggles up to a tree. And he starts feeling sleepy. He doesn't know if it's because he's done all that work or because it's his head hurting. But slowly and surely, William falls in to a deep, deep sleep. We don't know how long it's been. William wakes up. He thinks, have I been asleep for an hour or asleep for lots of days? He thought it must have been days because around him has grown something. He can't see. It's completely dark. Around him has grown something. He starts to move himself around to try and get out of whatever has kept him in. And once he breaks through, there's nothing holding him there and he starts falling to the ground again. And William goes, not again, as he's falling to the ground. And you know what happens? No. Because all of a sudden, William feels something on his back. And he opens up his back. And he's got some beautiful wings on his back. And he flies up into the sky and he flies around so happy. Because William was not a wiggly, swiggly, slimy, squirmy. I never said worm, you said worm. Because William was a wiggly, swiggly, slimy, squirmy caterpillar. And he'd got into a cocoon. And as he fell down, his wings had broke out and he was able to fly in the sky. He was able to go with the birds. He was able to go to the flowers. He was able to fly wherever he wanted. He'd always fancied Holland. Apparently they've got some nice flowers, he thought. So he flew to Holland and he flew all over as butterflies do. And do you think he was happy? He lived happily ever after. You know, our Bible verse we've been learning says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We've been thinking about what does it mean to be a new creation? Well, there's a lesson from nature for us there. You've got one thing, a wiggly, squiggly, slimy, squirmy caterpillar. And a caterpillar looks nothing like a butterfly. A caterpillar gets to move around in the mud and the dirt and climb plants. Or a butterfly gets to fly wherever he wants. A caterpillar isn't the nicest of looking creatures, whereas a butterfly is one of the most beautiful things you could see on a sunny day. And the Bible says becoming a new creation, becoming a Christian, is just like that. You become something brand new. It's like changing from a caterpillar into a butterfly. And that's what becoming a Christian is like. And we are going to think a little bit more in a minute about what it means to be a Christian, to be something completely new, to have a change, which is like changing from a caterpillar into a butterfly. Well, we've had a great week. We've thought a lot about this verse. Let's have a look at it up on screen. Let's just have a few final thoughts on our verse. Shall we say it together once more? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. After 3, 1, 2, 3. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. I just want to spend a few minutes asking the question, what does it mean to be a new creation? It's what is a Christian? What does it mean to become a Christian? What does it mean to have that change from the caterpillar to the butterfly, that complete change? Well, do you know, the Bible's really helpful because it gives us all sorts of other pictures to help us understand this. In one part of the Bible, Paul, the same guy who wrote this, he said this. Becoming a Christian is like going from darkness to light. Everybody put your hands over your eyes or close your eyes. That's the darkness. And then everybody take your hands off. That's the light. That's the difference that Paul is saying. Becoming a Christian, becoming a new creation, is like going from darkness into light. And you see, the thing with darkness, the Bible talks about it as without God, being without God. It's being in the dark. It's that little word sin that we talked about, those bad things. And the Bible talks about being in the light as getting to know God, becoming a Christian, being part of God. And the first thing we need to understand is actually that we need to change. That there needs to be a transformation. It's no good changing if you don't think you need to change. Now I want you to think about whether you, as a little boy or girl, or some of you still as a little boy or girl, have ever played hide or seek. And whether you've ever played hide or seek and you've hidden in a particularly dark place. It's like the little boy who found his favourite hiding place was under the stairs. And he hid under the stairs and it was completely pitch black. And he was in there sniggering away because no one could find him. And he was having so much fun in the dark. Eventually he sniggered a bit too loud and his sister, or whoever was looking for him, came down the stairs and opened up under the stairs and found where the little boy had been hiding. But you know, the little boy wasn't happy anymore because as soon as the light came in, he saw where he'd been hiding. And under the stairs, there were cobwebs. He looked back, there was a giant spider. There were some nasty stains on the wall and Dad had to sort the damp out. It was awful under the cupboard. But when it was dark, he thought it was quite fun. But once he'd seen the light had come in, he saw that it wasn't a great place to be. And perhaps when you think about becoming a Christian, you think, why do I need to change? Life is good. Life is fine. I've got my lovely family around me. Work is good. We're comfortable. I'm not that bad. I live a good life and I do some good things. And that's a bit like being under the stairs. We think everything's okay. But when the light comes, actually can show us that perhaps it's not quite what we thought. Those things we love and enjoy, so rightly so, sometimes go bad. Family members get ill. Sometimes the job goes and the money struggles come. And actually we look and thought, actually that's not that great that that's what all I was living for. And actually, when it comes to that little thing, those bad things we do, actually, we know deep down that actually we're not that great. Because we know the things that go on in our head that no one else knows. I know the things that I think which are bad and which I'd never want anyone else to know about. But God knows. And actually, we think, actually, so I do need to change. Actually, when it's in the dark, it's great. But once the light comes, I can see that I need to change. So if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The first thing is realizing that actually there's a change that needs to be made. The second thing that the writer talks about, this guy Paul, who we learned about on Friday, he says becoming a Christian is like putting on the new self. In the book of Ephesians, he says it's like taking off the old self and putting on the new self. That's kind of like a jacket. Here's a jacket. I don't know if this is the old jacket or new jacket. I hear they call it retro chic. So I don't know which it is. But it's like the old self having those bad things on you and taking those off and putting the good things of God on you. What are those bad things? Well, the Bible talks in that passage, it talks about those who steal with their hands to stop stealing and to do good things with their hands instead. For those who lie, to start telling the truth. It's like taking off an old self and putting on something completely new. But does that sound a bit like becoming a Christian is just about stopping doing naughty things and starting doing good things? Because it's more than that. Do you know, I've tried to do some things better this year. This year, I have tried to be a little bit tidier. And I have tried, don't look at my office now, but it's true, I've tried to be a little bit tidier. And I've tried to eat a bit better. I've tried to lose a little bit of weight and eat the proper things and to stay healthy. And I have. I've lost a little bit of weight and I've put a little bit back on over the summer. But in general, I've lost a little bit of weight and I've changed slightly. But actually, inside, I haven't changed at all. I actually have to work really hard to try to stay tidy because I'm a messy person. And actually, I've stopped eating chips and chocolate. But I still love chips and chocolate. Nothing's changed. I still love them more than any of the other stuff I'm eating right now. And you know, I've gone to the gym. I've been to the gym and worked out. I hate the gym. So that's not changed. I go because I should, but I still hate it. Because nothing's changed inside. I've tried to do things a bit better, but nothing has really changed inside. So becoming a new creation means you take off the old self and put on the new self. But it's more than just New Year's resolutions. This is what the last thing Paul says. He says, if you have become a Christian, if you are a new creation, you have gone from being dead to being alive. Now, if you're dead, you can't make decisions on what's best for you and you can't try your best because you're dead. A dead parrot is not an alive parrot. Now, I know only half the people in the room, if that, will know what this is all about. But that's good. This is for you guys now. So a dead parrot or dead pirate cannot do anything. He can't decide to just start doing good because he's dead. A dead parrot isn't resting. He isn't tired. Doesn't matter about his beautiful plumage or whatever. He's dead. And the Bible says, this guy Paul we've been learning about this week says, when you become a Christian, you move from being dead to being alive. You see, becoming a new creation is a complete change. Becoming a Christian is a complete change. We need to realize we need to change. It's about a physical change, putting off the old self and putting on the new self. But ultimately, it's a change we cannot do ourselves. We can try to be good. We can try to be better. We can give money away. We can come to church. It's brilliant to be in church. But that's not changed anything on the inside. Actually, it's only Jesus Christ who changes. In another place in the Bible, a man came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, what can I do to change? And Jesus said to him, you must be born again. The man said, how can I go in my mummy's tummy again? He said, no, you must become completely new. And in that part of the Bible, it says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that whoever believes in him should not die, but have everlasting life. Mums and dads, grands and granddads, everyone else, we've been teaching the boys and girls this week. We've had some amazing fun. I love seeing my team getting messy and silly. They love it too. They try to hide it, but I can see it. They love it. We love games and songs. But the reason we do this is because we believe Jesus Christ died on the cross. He didn't die on the cross because of anything he did. He died because he was God and he came to die in my place and to die in your place. To take away sins. To take the punishment that was rightly mine. You see, we were dead. We couldn't take care of it ourselves. But God came. Jesus Christ came and he took our sin on the cross. And he paid the penalty. He paid the punishment that was ours. So that we could be friends with God again. To make us alive. So we could go from the caterpillar to the butterfly. So we could be that new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. It's not about being good. It's not about dressing smart. It's not even about coming to church on a Sunday, even though that's a brilliant thing to do. It's about saying, I need to change, but I can't do that myself. But Jesus Christ has done it for me when he died on the cross to take that punishment which separated us from God. And because of that, I can say sorry and come to him. He'll be with us in this life. Our lives will change now. But ultimately, the Bible says we'll go to be with him forever when we leave this earth. And then we'll be changed forever and ever. We've had a brilliant week. We've learned loads of amazing things. Boys and girls, I hope you've had fun. But remember what we've learned, that we can be a new creation because of what Jesus has done for us. Can I say a prayer? Dear God, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you again for the fun we've had this week. And we thank you what we've been able to learn about you and your son, Jesus Christ. We pray that you help us remember these things as well as the fun. And Lord, we pray that many people will come to know you and that they too in their lives will be able to say, I am a new creation. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.